Hello, everyone. Welcome to our second breakout session. This one is about steps to addressing carbon pricing criticism. And I'm having a little trouble turning on my video. So if Ricky or one of our IT folks could adjust the settings so that I can be visible, or if not, we will have Tony start.
We're working on it. Go ahead and continue on.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and share my screen. Oh, actually, the settings are not letting me share my screen either. So 1 second, I will share them with Tony and we will get started.
Hey, Flannery, try now. Sorry about that.
Hello, everyone. The magic of technology has allowed me to get started. Thanks, Ricky. Okay. So this breakout session, as I said, is going to cover 5 steps to address carbon pricing criticism. So this is the content that we'll cover today is available in a resource that is already up on CCL Community. So if you want to follow along with what we're going to talk about today, or if you want to reference it later, you can find it there on CCL Community at that link. And we will share that in the chat as well. So I'll start off by introducing myself and my co-presenter. So I'm Flannery Winchester. I'm CCL's Communications Director. And with me today, we also have Patricia Rubio, our Diversity and Inclusion Program Coordinator. Hey, Patricia. And we have Tony Cerna, CCL's Strategy Director. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Flannery.
All right. So why are we talking about this now, this idea of responding to criticism about carbon pricing? Well, as carbon pricing continues to advance in the national policy conversation, it will likely draw more public attention and therefore more scrutiny. So a lot of the media coverage that we're seeing so far is really positive, but it's also possible that you may see an uptick in letters to the editor, op-eds, or social media posts where people are criticizing a carbon price. So today we want to make sure that you're equipped to know how to respond when you do see things like that, so that you can continue to advance the cause. So here's a quick overview of the 5 steps. So the first step is just to stay calm and set a realistic goal about what it means to respond to criticism. Then you're gonna want to assess the opposition, decide where to respond, prepare and post or publish your response, and then know when to stop. So that's what we're going to walk through today. And I will hand it over to Tony Cerna to talk us through step one.
Okay, thank you, Flannery. So the first step is to stay calm above all else. It's good to stay calm, don't panic, and set a realistic goal. So it can certainly be unsettling to see the, you know, people being critical of a policy we've worked so hard on for so many years, and you may feel anxious or defensive, which is totally understandable, but it's not the time to panic. Rest assured that heightened criticism is to be expected when a policy is actually being given serious consideration on the national stage. So set a realistic goal in your mind. We are not trying to convince every critic to become a supporter of carbon pricing. Instead, we're simply trying to interrupt the criticism so it doesn't make an outsized impression on the rest of the world. So don't go too far down the rabbit hole of someone is wrong on the internet. Just try to diminish that wrongness from spreading by giving some counterpoints. By addressing it, we can show other readers or social media users that while carbon pricing may have its critics, it has plenty of supporters too.
All right, and then step two is to assess the opposition. So basically just ask yourself a series of questions about what it is that you're seeing. First, is this criticism showing up in national media, or are you seeing it in your local news outlets, or perhaps on social media like Twitter or Facebook? Knowing this can inform where you push back, which is step three. You also wanna ask yourself, is this criticism coming from the political left or the right? And what is the actual attack that they're making about carbon pricing? These factors will inform what you say in your response, which is step four. And then you also wanna consider if this criticism is really genuine and gaining traction, getting more attention, or if it seems to be in bad faith, which we might call trolling, or if it's not getting much attention. So that those factors can inform how long you may stay engaged with the critic, or if you even decide to engage at all. And then I do want to highlight a special circumstance here, which is if the criticism or the perceived attack is coming from a group that's focused on environmental justice. And we really want to encourage you in this situation not to jump right to perceiving that as necessarily a criticism, but instead to see this as an opportunity to open up a conversation. And so we will go into more detail in that in just a few minutes. So then step three is to decide where to respond. So you could address the criticism through traditional media, social media, a mix of both. But if the criticism is appearing in national media, so for example, maybe you see something in the Washington Post, you have a couple different options. First of all, I do want to reassure you that CCL's communication staff engages directly with the journalist in that case, if this is an article, or if it's a high-level opinion piece, we may reach out to the author. In the case of national criticism. So that's part of my job and my team's job. That's what we're helping work on. So it's not just you trying to, you know, push back against high level narratives. We are working on that as well. But to help with the public conversation, you can submit letters to the editor of that outlet, and you can make sure that these letters are supportive of carbon pricing. You can also look and see if the outlet itself or if the author has shared the piece on any social media outlets. You're most likely going to see this on Twitter. And if they have posted about it, you can leave comments or replies to those tweets that are supportive of carbon pricing. You can also leave online comments on the piece itself that are supportive of carbon pricing if the article is still open. Sometimes articles like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal will close their comment sections after a certain time. But if that's still available, you can leave a comment. Now, if the criticism appears in local media, you're going to want to address it in local media, but the options are still pretty much the same. So you can push back in a letter to the editor. And these are really the easiest and fastest types of media to get published. So they are helpful when responding to criticism that you see in the paper in any format. So even if somebody has published a critical op-ed, respond with a letter. If you see a critical article, respond with a letter. Even if you may see attack ads, that's occasionally something that may pop up. It's advertising that is critical of carbon pricing. And in that same case, you can write a letter. And then just as with the national options, you can look and see if the outlet or the journalist has shared the piece on any social media outlets. Again, that's most likely going to be Twitter. And if so, then you can leave comments that are supportive of carbon pricing. And then finally, if the criticism appears on social media, if that's the first place that you see it, so it's not tied to any other major media, but just somebody making a comment, then we recommend that you address it on the same platform where you see it. So you can leave replies or comments on the original critical post. And then we don't recommend that you retweet or share that original critical post because that will just amplify the criticism further. So you can just address it on that original post and leave it at that. All right, and now Tony is going to tell us about how to actually prepare your response.
Okay, great. Thank you, Flannery. So I put a couple links in the chat to documents that we prepared to help you address attacks when they come. As you may have seen, attacks can come from either the right or the left. And we put together documents, one in general for carbon pricing that related to the Energy Innovation Act and even CCL in general, as well as one that was specifically to issues we expect to come up during this reconciliation process. So here are some particular things that we think it's really important to refute attacks on. Because it's not our responsibility to like correct every single thing that's wrong, but these are things that we think are most important. So when critics raise issues around affordability, we want to make sure that people understand that carbon pricing is cost neutral for American families when there's a carbon cashback payment, rebate, dividend, whatever you want to call it. And so it's very important to like address the affordability issue and make sure that people elevate that question that there is, you know, this need for a dividend, the need for a rebate, that critics will often talk about, you know, that the budget package as a whole might raise the deficit. And we should clarify that a carbon fee will help support a healthy climate and a healthy economy without adding one penny to the deficit. People are also often concerned about, you know, Biden's tax pledge of not raising taxes on people making less than $400,000. And we should clarify that carbon pricing is a corporate tax. It's not a tax on individuals. And we've seen the administration signal very clearly. The spokesperson, Jen Psaki, said that this is a corporate pollution fee and that it does not address that. It does not affect that $400,000 promise. And then also there's, critics might bring up questions around, that a carbon price is going to affect jobs or lower the GDP. And we should push back on this in saying that, a carbon fee will incentivize innovation by American businesses, creating millions of new jobs and will transform our economy and put Americans back to work. And you can go to those guides that I put links in the chat, and there's, example background on a bunch of different issues and suggestions for how you might handle them. Sometimes what you get, there's outright factual errors, like things that are misleading or wrong, sometimes on purpose, sometimes because people just, they didn't bother to actually read the article or they didn't actually, don't actually understand the issue. So in those cases, avoid repeating, don't say, when they said this, it was wrong, just say provide the correct, accurate information, cite the sources for those facts. And that can really be helpful in, you want to put the positive things out there rather than repeating the negative things so that those negative views don't stick. And always maintain a respectful and polite tone. Sarcasm, ad hominem attacks, these don't really help. They're not going to win people over. Remember, we're about relationships. And so you can often consider just starting with I share your concern about affordability. I share your concern about how this is going to affect our economy and jobs, and then pivot to the way that you think carbon pricing is actually going to address the concerns that they raised. And so just to, a little bit of an example, Ms. Flannery, you can go to the next slide. You can see what the document that we have available, it gives background on each topic, and then it gives suggestions of what you might say. But again, these are just suggestions. You obviously have to go with whatever's happening in the moment and in that, forum and address the concerns that are being raised there. And I don't know if this is, Patricia, do you want to take this slide?
Hey fam, how's it going? It's Patricia Olivier, your Diversity and Inclusion Program Coordinator. So this has come up before about environmental justice groups. Now, one thing I'm gonna say is don't be scared. It's okay. What we want is dialogue. So it's really important that we have an open mind and a flexible heart. There will be folks who disagree, and that's okay. What we want to make sure is that folks are actually thinking and moving towards climate solutions. And for CCL, as a grassroots organization, we focus on lobbying. And what we can do is open that up to other groups with our letters to the editors, with our chapters, whenever there's a concern about something that someone saw on their local paper, that an environmental justice group may have disagreed, or another organization. It's okay. We're going to see that. But the most important thing is that we keep our cool, we don't freak out, and we just guide folks back to our website. We talk to our chapter. How do we want to address this? Our regional coordinators. So there are answers to these issues. And just like in the previous slides, you saw different things you can do that Flannery and Tony offered. And I would just encourage you all to be happy that there's dialogue. So once again, we have, social media, traditional media, it's gonna be just fine. We can address these with, thank you for your interest. We really appreciate you bringing this to the table. We'd like to thank you for bringing those points to us. And then from there, just be polite and let them know that they're appreciated, because that's what's just going to build us as stronger CCLers.
Awesome. Thank you, Patricia. I know that I'm sure we'll have questions about this. I know that volunteers are very eager to have those conversations and open up that dialogue, so they may want to dive more into this.
Sure thing.
So then step five is know when to stop. So on social media in particular, it's tempting to go down the rabbit hole of, you know, back and forth exchanges, particularly with people or accounts who are not engaging in good faith. Again, you'll see this a lot on Twitter, but sometimes folks will be dismissive or derogatory. They'll ignore evidence or research that you provide, and it's tempting to want to try to convince them. And also, you may also come across criticism from accounts with really few followers, meaning that not many people are seeing those critiques anyway. So in these cases, once you have addressed the original criticism and corrected any misinformation, you can simply stop engaging. And again, if the account is particularly small, you may choose not to engage in the first place. And so that's it. After you've responded to the criticism or the negative media that you've seen, you can turn your focus back to writing, publishing, and posting positive information about carbon pricing and celebrating its advancement through Congress. So now we have time for questions. So I'm gonna stop sharing my screen and then open up the Q&A feature. And I will see what we've got. So folks, if you have questions, please put them in the Q&A. I won't be looking at the chat. I'll just be looking at the Q&A, and you can upvote other people's questions if you really want to make sure that we get to them.
I can start with the first one there, Flannery.
Sure.
There's a question about, you know, how carbon pricing might increase the cost of energy and gas, or you know, how this might affect inflation, stuff like that. There are examples of how to respond to this in both of those documents that we put together. So one thing that you might say to people is that you know, volatile energy prices are a problem. Corporate polluter fees can be a part of the solution. Money from the fees will go back to families so they can pay their bills, and will shift us to reliable and affordable clean energy, which is not vulnerable to these kinds of supply shocks and market manipulation by oil cartels. So that's an example to deal with the existing you know, energy crisis that's happening around the world, you know, et cetera. But you might want to, you know, have something that's more general about affordability, and there's examples of that as well. I do think that we should remember that in the reconciliation process, they are talking about exempting gasoline, consumer gasoline. So that's something that you can always point out. And also remember that, you know, right now we're seeing from normal, or quote unquote normal and quote unquote market, you know, situation, that, you know, prices are going up 50 cents or a dollar over a short amount of time. A carbon fee of, $10 a year would, $10 a year means 10 cents on gasoline. So we're talking about raising prices, you know, 2 or 3 cents per year, not, you know, 50% a year. So, you know, be clear that this is not, you know, I wouldn't say that there's, you know, these are not exponential. This is not going to spike the price of thing. There's going to be a gradual increase, and all the money is going to go back to support people, and that it'll make us less reliant on the volatile market.
Great. Thank you, Tony. I see a question in here from Laurie that I think is a good one for Patricia to take. So I'll read it out for you, Patricia. Laurie's asking, what is the best response to BIPOC or environmental justice groups who lump carbon fee and dividend in with cap and trade and carbon credits and other efforts that are critiqued as, she says, often rightly so, as false solutions? So how would you handle that kind of situation?
Right on to I missed your name, but right on. That's so cool. I'm so proud of you for having that question and bringing it to our attention. So this is something that it seems like it's going to be an ongoing thing, and we're just going to have to be very patient. Seems like everyone wants to lump it all in. And my background has been environmental justice since my 20s. So I understand what you mean on it's a false solution. It's just a different solution. See, right now we need to do as much as we can to get to helping our climate, and it's going to take everybody. It's going to take frontliners, canvassers, lobbyists. Like, it's going to take people doing outreach at tables, you know. I joke about before I got this job, I was going to tie myself to a machine to stop the border wall from being built because they were ripping out trees, you know, that were mature old growth. And I was like, the climate. So I see where you're coming from. And it's one of those things where we're going to have open minds and flexible hearts, and we're going to invite folks to the table and have that dialogue. And so when I say have an open mind and a flexible heart, is this is when you get to express yourself to an individual saying, I just don't believe this. Can you tell me why I should, or what is the benefit? Then let the other individual, the CCLer, whether it's a chapter or coordinator, whomever, you know, just exchange the dialogue and the opinions and just express how you feel. I want you to express how you feel. That is very important to me as a diversity inclusion employee here. So my best offer is just patience, because I see it lumped in all aspects, not just in the environmental justice section, like just as everyday work. I think a lot of us staffers have seen it. It's clumped up. So just be patient and just open your dialogue and stand your ground. That's my job, is to make sure that you all feel safe. And that's my goal. So just continue to have that dialogue and keep rocking and rolling. That was an excellent question. I love it.
Great. Thank you, Patricia. And if I could like ground it in like a really specific example, maybe. So if somebody sees a letter or an op-ed from an environmental justice group that makes that conflation and, you know, critiques carbon pricing, but maybe they're not talking about exactly the policy that we're talking about or something like that, we do not recommend a responding letter that says such and such group got it completely wrong, and this is that we're setting the record straight now with our letter, and we want to, you know, get it exactly right. Like, maybe we would recommend instead still submitting a letter, but not specifically calling out that group or sort of dueling letters or dueling op-eds, but rather maybe reaching out to that group and saying, hey, we saw your letter and we saw your op-ed. We would love to hear more about your perspective. Is that kind of the right way to respond if people see that type of media from this type of community?
I like how you phrased that, Flannery. Thank you so much. I had a roundabout, but I think that is a really good way to go about it for that individual. That's a good scenario. I don't know if you're asking me or Tony, but I just wanted to jump in with that. Yeah, because we don't want anyone to feel attacked. We don't want people to see CCLers as, oh, we're the type that just go after people. No, we're very peaceful, awesome people. We just want to save our world, just like everybody else. But yeah, it's not about going straight to the attack. It's just about stand back, take a deep breath, do your research, and also respect the fact that that's their belief. Just like we want to be respected for what we're lobbying for. So that was really awesome, Flannery. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to help everybody on the call understand, you know, in these concrete moments, what to do. Okay, cool. So I see one that might be a good place to jump from here. So this is a question from Rick. He says, while avoiding ad hominem attacks, is it acceptable to at least point out when a critic has an obvious conflict, such as being a fossil fuel lobbyist? So I'll take this one. And I would say, yes, if there's an op-ed or a letter or an attack coming from, as you say, a critic that has an obvious conflict, then I think that's fine to point out. And that's a case where it would be okay in your letter or in your responding, you know, social media comment or whatever forum you've chosen to respond in, to point that out. Still keeping in mind CCL's values of respect, but you can be clear about where you're seeing that critique come from, if it's something really obvious, like for example, we get a lot, I in particular on Twitter, see things from Americans for Tax Reform, who are always attacking the policy. And so that's a moment when you can potentially zoom out a little bit and say, let's look at where this critique is coming from. Okay, well, let's see. I'm looking through other questions. We're getting a lot of policy questions, which we can try to address in the break. Okay, how about this question? How would you suggest responding to someone on the left who says a carbon price is giving companies a license to pollute and we need to simply keep fossil fuels in the ground? Tony, do you have there's something in the opposition document that would?
There is some material there in terms of, just like how to respond to people saying like carbon pricing is not enough. I mean, it is tricky because some like cap and trade systems do feel a lot more like giving people the license to pollute or even to, you know, buy their way out of, you know, pollute, you know, and stopping pollution. A carbon price doesn't really do that. I mean, or especially if it's steadily increasing, like it's just making it harder and harder and harder and aligning the incentives. We still need other policies. So I would focus on that, but I don't think that there's not necessarily the notion that there's a simple policy like, oh, we just passed the like Keep It in the Ground Act and then everything is kept in the ground and like, you know, we're all done. It's like, well, that's not actually a simple solution either, because like, how do we get all the energy needs met? And, you know, what's the process between here and there? And when does that happen? And, you know, so I think it's important to recognize that we need to be working on reducing demand in concert with reducing oil production or, you know, fossil fuel production. And so, I would always, you know, try and say like, you know, that a carbon price is aligning, you know, people's economic incentives with, you know, all the other so that all the other policies are going to work much better and work more cleanly, you know, in a case like that.
Cool. Thank you, Tony. I see one question here from Tyler saying, people generally tend to be relentless on social media outlets like Twitter and Facebook, as some have an us versus them attitude. Should addressing criticism on those platforms even be condoned? So here I'll just say, go back to the step where you assess the opposition and see who's actually making the initial criticism. And if it's somebody that only has a handful of followers, they're not getting much engagement on whatever critique they originally posted, then yeah, don't worry about that. If on the other hand, you see a tweet from an account that has tens of thousands of followers saying, "Ugh, carbon tax, what a bad idea," then that would be something where we want to, as we said at the beginning, we want to get in there and interrupt that criticism and show that there are supporters of this type of policy. There are great reasons to support it. It's effective. It's fast acting, all of that. So just don't skip that step of assessing the opposition to decide whether it's worth it. Because you're right, we don't want you to spin your wheels and waste a bunch of energy engaging with an account that isn't getting much reach or someone who isn't, again, engaging in good faith. And if they are just trying to do kind of a back and forth thing, then no, you don't have to, as we say, go down the rabbit hole with them.
Flannery, I just wanted to add real quick. Also, sometimes it's just like, you don't want to go down the rabbit hole. It just gets very exhausting. Sometimes, you know, save your energy for something else you could do with your chapter or, you know, when you're researching as we prepare for lobbying. Yeah, just take it easy on yourself too. You know, you don't have to do it all. We don't expect you all to do everything, you know. Just conserve your energy and lots of self-care, because this is a long road.
Absolutely. This is a marathon, not a sprint. All right. Well, so we are coming to the end of this breakout session. I'm sorry that we couldn't get to everybody's questions. I will take a look at them during the break, but I will put here in the chat just one last time. We have all of this content that we reviewed today is available on CCL Community as a resource. So you can dive in, you can look at the specific examples. You can go through Tony's handling opposition document that he put together, which is super helpful. And then if you have any questions, you can ask in the community forums about any specific situations that you're encountering if you need help to deal with them. So thank you so much, everyone. And we will see you in a few minutes for our closing plenary here on this Zoom line.
Yeah, thanks to the three of you. That was fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.